The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. Enjoy ultra-fast speeds up to 10 times faster than Sky's standard broadband.
Good morning all, this is Ryan Tuberty with you. It is Tuesday morning, the 21st of September 2021 at 9:05. We are delighted to be with you and even happier that you're with us. And we're here till 10 o'clock. You can text 51551 or you can email ryan@rte.ie. Brilliant. And when you get a book that you go, yes, I got one of those the other day. Because I read one that was so-so at the weekend and not over the last week. And then this one is really good and it's called The Plot. And in it, it's a narky, self-regarding author who had minor success with the book and then ends up kind of teaching writing, creative writing, angry, bitter, comes across a young student with a good story. The student mysteriously disappears and this writer is left with this kernel of an idea and decides to do something with it and everything changes. It's really good. I'm really enjoying it. I can't tell you the name of the writer because I've totally forgotten, but I'll tell you in a second. It's called The Plot and it thickens and it's very, very good. The Orson Neutron is increasingly looking like a petting zoo because they keep putting more animals. It's good. It's good. Independent.ie reporting that President Higgins welcomed 7 indigenous Dexter cattle. Cows to you and me, to the grounds of Orris Neutron yesterday, and they will graze the grounds of the Orris for 3 months as part of a programme to enhance the biodiversity of the 130-acre site with the intention that they will continue to graze in the grounds for a few months each year. But didn't they get ponies? Yes, in May, they got 2 horses or ponies from Connemara, and they were from part of a partnership with Kyamore Abbey, and they will, so you've got ponies from Connemara, and you've Dexter cattle, and it's all getting very biodiverse friendly, if that's the right expression. And I hope that the grounds men and women are well looked after in terms of shovels and fertilizer and wheelbarrows, because that's going to be a busy day. Because the grounds, I've had the pleasure of being there a couple of times, and the grounds are so beautiful and so well maintained. But they also have, you know, if you're fortunate enough, they'll say, would you like some apple juice? And you go, I'd love a glass of apple juice. And it comes from the apples, from the trees and the ground. So it's all lovely. And now they can be nurtured by the, you know, the beautiful creatures that have graced the grounds as of yesterday. So that's good news. On the island of Ireland this week, Hillary Rodham Clinton, HRC, will be in Belfast for her inauguration as Queen's University Chancellor. According to Image.ie, Megan Burns telling us that Mrs. Clinton was appointed to the role in January 2020, couldn't get there because of the obvious, and she'll be in town for her inauguration. This is exciting. She's held the position since 2020, but she will now be the 11th Chancellor of Queen's and its first female one. It says the ceremony takes place on Friday. Hillary Clinton will deliver a speech. She will award several degrees. She herself received an honorary degree from Queen's University in 2018, and when a scholarship was set up in her name for postgraduate study in politics, human rights and peace building. Sounds fascinating in itself. So she will hold the position for 5 years and has said that it is a great privilege to do so. I'll tell you something about Hillary Clinton. Regardless of what you say, and you can write in and say you hate her, and you can write in and say she's this, that and the other, I know that. But I will tell you this much. As somebody who's interviewed her face-to-face twice. She is a remarkably interesting human being, and that's the truth of the matter. And she has a remarkable brain, and she's very charming and very warm and very interesting to meet. And that's just what I'm telling you. And you know, she says herself, when I met her at that time in Chappaqua, in her hometown, that I remember thinking, does part of you wish that you had been more like the person I met now in this hotel, and that people have after the election, than you were? I think she admitted that as much. If people could have seen the real her, she went into a campaign mode, I think, when she ran for office, and unfortunately wasn't what people wanted. If she had been more herself, it might have changed history, frankly. But she's in town this Friday, and like I say, she is an extraordinarily interesting person. And her last book, the one about post-election, is well worth reading. really, really, really well worth reading, even still. What else we got? Well, you saw Justin Trudeau going up to Canada now, and Justin Trudeau has clung on to power. Now, he was it was a risky call, and he nearly lost the election. And I'm, look, I'm no expert, you know that. But I suspect that when the anti-vax people really went for him and went for his wife, on the campaign trail, and he turned back and he said, enough of this now, and he took them on. He got a bounce in the polls. And because it was so tight, I suspect that took him over the line to allow him to, albeit a minority government, but to take snatch victory from the jaws of defeat there. So in other words, the people who wanted him out arguably kept him in. That's what I'm suggesting from the sidelines here. I was listening to Damien O'Meara on the News at One yesterday talking about this proposal that the World Cup could be on every 2 years. And a lot of the soccer organisations that he was saying were saying, no, no, we don't want that. But they're going to sit down and I think try and trash it out and say for every 4 years. Well, and I thought, I know what I'll do. I'll help. I think you should do it every 3 years. That's the compromise. Because every 2 years they'll be wrecked. Every 4 years is too much of a stretch. Every 3 years ago, yeah, okay. So if they need anyone to help fix this, call me. Billy Whiz, Johnny Sports over here. I'll do it. I know what I'm talking about. I'll help. Just offering my services. That's all I'm saying. Staying with sport, Kieran Lennon from the Irish Independent Sports Desk says that they've spent a lot of time over the last few months working on a three-part podcast, and that's called In Focus, Tainted Gold, the Michelle Smith Story, which will be podcast today, tomorrow and Friday, which looks very interesting. It's, of course, it's a fascinating story. And a whole generation of people don't know the ins and outs of that story because they were too young when Michelle Smith won all her medals 25 years ago. Crikey. Captivated a nation during the summer of 1996. She won 3 gold medals and a bronze across an astonishing week in Atlanta, becoming the first Irish woman in history to reach the top step of an Olympic podium. And 4 years earlier, she had been on the verge of quitting her sport. But then 1996, top of the world, according to this piece here. However, while the nation celebrated her sporting success, some were already questioning her achievements. And they talked to people who covered the story and people who lost out on medals and retraced the glory and the controversy and everything like that. That looks like it could be intriguing. And that's the In Focus, Tainted Gold, the Michelle Smith Story, episode 1. I was about to say Talented Gold. I was just laughing upstairs saying, for some reason, the last few days, I keep adding a letter or taking a letter away from words and rewriting words and sentences. My brain's obviously just working too fast. I'm changing things. Either that or I'm just losing the plot. Joy! I like that word. Joy is one of Cork's most characterful? Okay. Conversational Pubs confirms they'll reopen shortly from corpio.ie. And this is one of my favourite watering holes in Cork called the High Bee. Do you know it? It's a little, you go upstairs and it's like a room. Well, it is a room, but it's very, and there's a fire. And it was run by a guy called Brian O'Donnell for years and years, publican, philosopher, raconteur, all the great things. And I like to style because no TVs, no mobile phones, no PDAs. None of that. No messing. Keep your hands to yourself. Public displays of affection not allowed. And it was just one of those things. Not that I'm anti any of these things, but something, you know what? Having a pint, a little less of that, and go home. That's what it's there for. Anyway, chewing gum also not permitted. I love this pub. It's just pints and chats, and then maybe a little fireside in the middle of it all. But they were closed for ages. Thankfully, Brian's daughter is still running the show, which is good news. And they're going to open on Friday, the 22nd of October. Social distancing is lifted. 556 days closed. 33 more sleeps. We're reducing Cork very soon. So look forward to that. Boris Johnson was having an exchange with the Brazilian president, who sounds like a completely bonkers affair, Bolsonaro. And he said to him, just get the vaccine. It's like him just going, yeah, I know. Just get it, you know. Look at Ireland, 90%, lads. They were in a meeting in New York. It's all happening in New York, isn't it? It's very exciting. And he told the right-wing populist leader, AstraZeneca is a great vaccine, as he effectively challenged Mr. Bolsonaro for not being vaccinated. And he just said, just get the vaccine. Apparently, it's an awkward exchange. I have a bit of it here. I don't know what the sound is like, but essentially, this is the press conference.
Great vaccine. Watch my
abs. Just
come yesterday.
Thanks, everybody. Get AstraZeneca
vaccine.
I have twice.
Yeah, so what he said there was, he said, thanks everyone, Anthony. Just get the vaccine. He's walking out the door. I had it twice. So I have to say respect to Boris Johnson on that one, that's for sure. Okay, where else? Let's stay in New York, because the New York governor, Kathy, is it a Hochul? She just took over recently from Governor Cuomo, who of course left under a shadow, to say the least. And then she's the pretty much newly ensconced, because she wasn't, of course, elected as governor, but she would have been lieutenant governor. Anyway, she's the governor now. That's the fact of the matter. She wants to welcome back the J1 program and students. And I think that is pretty good news for young people who I hope are doing okay and are getting on with life and getting back to college. And, you know, that news yesterday that the shutters are coming up in New York, America, or as I like to call it, New York. the shutters are coming up from November the 1st. That is great news. And there was a lovely young person on the news last night saying she can't wait to see her parents. And she would be, of course, representative of the broad swathe of people who are just dying to come and go. And it's very exciting. So America's opening again, and that's good. And the governor of New York met the Taoiseach, Micheál Martin, and she says, even though he's a Cork man and I'm from Kerry, she's tracing her roots, there's a great rivalry there in Gaelic football. No offence to the people of Cork, she says, as she gets her Kerry jersey. The Taoiseach got a New York jersey, and the governor's grandparents founded the GAA in North America. So she really has her roots deep in the Irish story. House spiders. Now, I don't really want loads of text on spiders, because they can happen, but I just to let you know, Councillor Brian Smith tweeted to say, in defence of spiders, annual reminder, as some on here, that is to say Twitter, lose the plot at seeing spiders in their houses. I know a lot of you listening as well do. He says, look, and we had this, didn't Colleen Ennis come in and tell us all about spiders? We had a lovely chat with him. It's mating season. They only want spider loving under your wardrobe. They also eat up vast quantities of the nasty mites that can do damage. Spiders are a great bunch of lads. Now, Sarah Creighton did respond to this. Did a spider write that? And it wasn't a spider. Could have been a doctor. The handwriting was so bad. But no, we know who wrote this. And it's just, there's a sort of, if you can get over your abject fear of them, they're doing you a great service. They're going, I need more mites. Nom, 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 nom. Now I need a little R&R with herself, and then back to the mines, and so they're busy, they're out the door, they're wrecked actually, they're hungry, they're exhausted, they're constantly on the move, you know, it's a arachnopalooza in people's houses at the moment. So leave them off, you know, they have feelings too, and they have needs. Hillary says, a text from Helen. I agree, she is a remarkable, interesting woman. Read the North and what she is doing. I will be forever grateful. The pursuit of power is capable of doing strange things to people. True. Our choir, Duhallow Choral, had the privilege of singing for Hillary Clinton in Dublin and New York, says Bridget Daly. She was really a lovely lady, very impressive to meet, and had the ability to make you feel you are the most important person she is meeting. Delighted to hear you say that about Hillary Clinton. She is so smart and treated awfully. Regardless of liking a character, we can still surely acknowledge what they have achieved. I'm inclined to agree with that. By the way, the book I mentioned, The Plot, is written by Jean Coretils. That is a strange name. Could we ask an adult how to pronounce that? Because I have no idea. But thank you, June, in Galway. That's the same author. I know it says it on the front, which I hate. Wrote The Undoing, which was a great bit of ham with Hugh Grant and Nicole Kidman on TV. But it kind of put me off the book a little bit, because that was one thing and this is another. But nevertheless, it's fine. I will also never buy a book that features the cover, in which the cover features photographs of the actors playing the part. No, I don't like that at all. Good morning, Ryan. Good morning, Dee. I heard you talking about bus drivers yesterday, and Sunday must have been the day our great bus drivers were out in force. I was bringing my teenage son for his second vaccine to the Ballybrit Centre in Galway, and a bus was pulled up at the bus stop near there, and the driver was out helping an elderly lady down the footpath and across the road with her rollator, her walking frame. What a lovely thing to do. Man on fire. All the bus drivers are out. Graham is in Fermoy. He says, I'm very proud of our Irish diplomats in at the UN in New York, chairing the Security Council, leading with such determination. We need to acknowledge the amazing work of Ambassador Bern Nason and her team. I agree with you, and I've had the good fortune of meeting the ambassador herself when I was in Paris some years ago, and I tell you this much, we are in very, very good hands with that ambassador at the helm over there. Having seen her in action at very close quarters, firsthand, working with people and the welcome she gives. So she is what diplomacy is in many ways, a great front of house face for this country abroad. And I don't say that lightly, and it's not plumos, it's a matter of fact. So we are in great hands. When I see her on the news, the way she was talking not too long ago about women in Afghanistan, I thought, this is great. Ireland leading the way in women's and girls' rights in a country that is going through the horrors. And we are a country who know all about going through the horrors, whether it's in the 20th century or the 19th century. We need people like that to put a voice for people who simply don't have one. So it's impressive. So New York, what's happening in the Security Council, don't underestimate it. Has been talked about before, small nations can punch largely above their weight. And I think that's what we're doing this week. And there's no harm to be a little bit proud of ourselves for that every so often, I think. In fact, I was listening to a piece this morning, the Global News podcast, and it comes out at all hours. And it was, and actually what happens is an Irish journalist called Nuala McGovern was talking to a young girl in Afghanistan, and she was like a teenager, and she was in school, and it really resonated with me, this girl's voice, because we couldn't give her a name because, or they couldn't give her a name on this broadcast because she was afraid for her security. But what she was talking about was not being able to go to school, because they're saying now, the Taliban are saying, don't let, just let boys go to school. Don't let the girls go to school yet. And they're quietly chiseling away at the rights that the women and children and girls had up until a few weeks ago. And I'm going to play a little clip of it. I'll tell you why. Because there are lots of girls and boys going to school today in this country. And sometimes you have to take a breather and say, God bless democracy. Thank God for democracy. Thank God for education. Thank God for freedom of movement. And this is this poor kid who was up until a few weeks ago going to school every day, dreaming of a world, you know, 20, she must be 15 years old. 9/11 was history in the history books for her when she was there. Everything was going fine, and suddenly she was told, you're not going to school today. What class of life is that? Here she is.
I'm feeling extremely sad because my future is not very bright because there is no school for girls, but there is school for boys. Is there any difference between girls and boys? If I will stay here, there is nothing for me to do instead of dying. My future can be bright in other countries except Afghanistan, because in this situation is not okay for any girl in here. My dream was actually to become a journalist. Now everything has stopped. I cannot go to the academy. I cannot learn English. All of my dreams are ruined. There is nothing left.
Sad, isn't it? But just a reminder, you are lucky to be going to school today. You're lucky to be sending your children to school today. Don't forget, somewhere across the other side of the world, there's somebody going, I want to go through that gate. I can't because I'm a girl. Nothing right about that. 51551 is the text number. Talking of adding words and letters to sentences and words, my son and I constantly, nearly every day, make spoonerisms out of words. For example, yeah, I do that all the time. For example, rot post for pot roast. And the bride is brushing for the bride is blushing. Oh, I hear you. And not on purpose. What's that all about? I think it's tiredness. I don't know. We'll ask a friendly neurologist about it in this week and say, why do I see letters and put letters into it? It happens all the time. Some words are more troublesome and bothersome than others. Now, that's funny. Sarah McInerney, our friend and colleague from Drive Time and Prime Time, sent out a tweet to say that she was watching Bohemian Rhapsody, as we know the film that's about Freddie Mercury and Queen. And I was watching Bohemian Rhapsody, she said, and I was remembering that time someone on Twitter told me, no, she said, told me I look like Brian May. Oh, no, because she's in big curly hair. Oh, come on, Sarah. Great hair. She goes on to say, I've forgotten about it till now, but I'm giggling through the whole movie because someone said, you know what, you look like Brian May. I won't say who, but upstairs in the office, One was called Hulk Hogan, and she wasn't happy about that. that's not one I can't even say because it's so inappropriate. Was given another one. I got Henry Kelly for the 20 years. Yeah, at least I've grown into what he looked like. When I was younger, it was our show. But anyway, this is about curly hair. And somebody had sent a response back saying, curly hair problems. Everyone telling you that you look like any other curly haired person in the world, which can happen. But then another girl called Orla got in touch and said, you know what? As a fellow curly and former blonde, I was once told I looked like Chad Kruger from Nickelback. That's not nice. That's sometimes if you think somebody looks like someone who isn't attractive, don't just best not to say it. Okay, so if you're not, you know, just best not to say it. All right, we have so much to talk about this morning. I've got more to tell you, but I think we'll go for some music because I was watching this on Saturday night and it's a great song and we're giving away tickets for this movie. So therefore, for not for the movie, for the next one. It's Adele, Skyfall. Good one, wasn't it? That was one of the better Bond of recent times. Certainly, I love that. It's Adele and Skyfall at 9:30. We are on day two of our James Bond competition. Very Bondy this week. Ah, come on. The nerves. Boom. Okay, it's our No Time to Die competition for our friends, the rather extraordinary healthcare frontline workers of Ireland. We have got some very special tickets to a dedicated screening at the Irish premiere of No Time to Die. What have we got to do? Healthcare frontline workers, one of you, and a guest every day. It's on next Tuesday, September 28th at Dublin's Lighthouse Cinema, the perfect setting for a bit of Bond. It's classy. No Time to Die will be in cinemas across Ireland from September 30th, so you'll get to spoil it for everyone 2 whole days before its official release. But don't do that. Stephen Mangan was our winner yesterday. Paramedic with, I was going to call him a pandemic. That's the thing I was thinking about, the words. A paramedic with the National Ambulance Services. He is off for a great night with his wife. It's their anniversary. Wasn't that what he was saying yesterday? It sure is. Well deserved. So, if you've been working as a healthcare frontline worker in any capacity and you're a James Bond fan, you know what to do. 1850 715 900. And you could be heading to the Irish premiere of No Time to Die next Tuesday. John in Cork said, I still burst into tears when Bond opens the garage with M and reveals the Aston Martin. I know. And Stuart said, that is the best Bond theme song and movie, barring on Skyfall, is excellent. And you know what? It holds up well under recent observation. Now, I'm very excited to bring and welcome Mr. Mark O'Halloran into studio, which we will do after this.
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1.
Pauline from Dublin says, as a former colleague in the Department of Foreign Affairs, many thanks for your generous and well-deserved tribute to Ambassador Geraldine Byrne-Nason in New York. She's been working very effectively on UN SECO and especially on difficult issues like Afghanistan, Ethiopia and climate change and security. Good on you and good on her. Thank you. And many more coming in on different things, but we'll get to them in a minute. We curly hair, says Lisa in Harold's Cross. I'd give anything to look like Brian May. As a petite blonde with long curls, I've been told I'm Robert Plant by my older sister pretty much my whole life. Siblings, you see, telling it like it is. That's troublesome. That's not nice at all. Justine Stafford is a comedian who tweets, dear every television show, for the love of God, please put liquid in your coffee cups. Isn't she right? Do they think we're fools? We know there's nothing in it. And even if you put water or something, we know there's not hot. You're meant to be drinking coffee. Another fella replied, well, it just feels that like they don't get that we know no one moves like that when you have a liquid in a cup. Even somebody else put in little weights. Somebody else, it's just water. Sure, they can afford water. Yes, they could just fill it, a little water balloon and put it in the cup so you'd have the weight, but not the spill risk. It's distracting. Or maybe a little bean bag, something, anything, anything. Just put it in. We know. And another actor said, it was always sand in the coffee cups and cold black tea for whiskey when I was involved with amateur drama. But please, please get it right. It's a good observation. Hello to Mark O'Halloran. He performed with me in UCG Dramstock back in the day. He so perfectly captured Algernon Moncrief and the importance of being earnest that I still see him and hear him whenever Oscar Wilde is mentioned, says Fiona. And Raymond Keane says the same, listening to Mark talking this morning with Ryan being beautiful and amazing as always. Okay, enjoy that. No end. It's 10 o'clock. We've got to say goodbye. Stay tuned to Claire Byrne and we'll see you tomorrow.
The Ryan Tuberty Show. Listen back on the RTE Radio Player.